Would you take out your notes with me as we talk about freedom and maybe a slavery that we don't even know that we're getting into? By the way, you know, last week I was with Hawaii Kai, and I was actually there to commission my son Aaron into the ministry of being a lead campus pastor out there. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. Mom was there and myself. And then when it was all done, I thought, I'm getting old. This is old. But you know what? Someone comforted me and said, Wayne, listen, old people are really valuable because they have silver in their hair, gold in their teeth, they have gas in their stomach and lead in their feet. So I thought, oh, all right, I'm all right then. But I do notice that after a while, you know, your follicles go on strike, and then your memory cells kind of go on vacation and forget how to come back. And memory is one of the things, you know. I heard a story of these two old guys. They were playing cards with their wives, and the older guy says to the other one, he says, hey, I've been taking this memory course. It's really good. I mean, you know how you forget names all the time? They take a name and they associate it with an object, and you remember the name just like that. The other guy goes, whoa, I got to take that memory course because mine's going too. Man, what's the name of that course? The first guy goes, wait a minute. What's that flower that has thorns on the stem? And the guy says, a rose. Oh, that's right. Rose, what's the name of that course that we're taking? Well, it's been a good summer. Actually, but my daughters are building a barn, you know, just to kind of get some work going. But you know what? They don't build them the way they used to. I mean, I have some people helping me with it, but it's like hammers now are a thing of the past. They don't use hammers anymore. They use nail guns. I mean, air-powered nail guns and battery-powered drills and battery-powered saws. And it's just like everything is just, whoo, that fast. And they have these erector sets that pull these beams up. And then, like, a level is hardly used. You know what they use? They use these laser transits. They put them up in this little laser beams. It goes, dee, 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 dee. And you think, oh, that's where it is. And these little light beams everywhere. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. It's so precise and so easy. The things that we used to use in the past are obsolete now. I mean, like, I used to, even finding studs, you know, the vertical 2x4s behind the sheetrock. I used to get a hammer and go, boom, 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 bing, 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 bing. Oh, there's a stud. Boom, 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 no stud. Bing, 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 there's another stud. And then you put your shelf and you nail it into the studs. You don't use the hammer anymore. It's this digital thing. You just go, and no stud, ee-nee-nee-nee-nee, stud, and no stud, nee-nee-nee-nee, stud, and no stud, nee-nee-nee-nee-nee. Like, try Elwin. Just joking. He's not here, so I have to give him a hard time. But so many technological advances. In fact, I was over at a friend's. I was speaking up in Montana, and is a pastor, and he pushes his little key thing bobber in his pocket, and his car outside starts. It's a remote starter, and the air conditioning starts up and stuff, and then you don't even need to turn a key anymore, too much effort. So you go, and because the key is in your pocket, you walk up to the door, and it senses that you're there, and boop, 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 everything opens up. I thought, good night. Then we go to the golf course. We're in this golf cart, and they have a GPS now that runs off a satellite, and it tells you the topographical lay of the land, and the incline, the decline, when the next water hazard is, how far it is to the front of the green, to the middle of the green, to the back of the green. I mean, it tells you everything except your birth date. And I thought, this is amazing. Didn't help. This thing didn't help me at all. But I thought, this is absolutely amazing. And then we're flying back home. I'm talking to the pilot. Check this out. I said, well, how long does it take, you know, to take off on this tarmac? He said, oh, the computer does all of that. He said, what? He said, it takes off by computer and it lands by computer. I thought, no way. And this is a true story. I was talking to a friend here in Honolulu, and he said he just got surgery, and the surgery was done by robotics. Yeah, this robot does surgery. I was thinking, doesn't anybody work anymore? But then I was thinking that's, and I'm not complaining about it because it's great, but that's a trend of America where any big bucks is made from anything that has effort. You remove the effort and you do it by convenience. And the more convenient you make everything so nobody has to lift a finger, the better it is. I mean, you've got everything is wireless now. Your telephone is your computer, and your computer is your telephone, and everything is just really easy. You've got Bluetooth, black tooth, rotten tooth. You got everything. It's just absolutely amazing. And then you know what happens is because everything becomes so convenient, you know what happens? I notice that because everything is so convenient, sometimes then people get bored because they don't have to do much, so they get bored. And you know what happens after that? Then the next biggest business is now entertainment. Because they got to entertain everybody. And so all of these other gadgets are coming out just to keep the mind active to entertain. And we're just entertaining ourselves into oblivion. It's a $1 trillion business in America. And we're struggling with the war across in Iraq or the war in Afghanistan. We spend $10 billion. It's $1 trillion in entertaining ourselves. But we don't see the discrepancy. And then what happens is after entertainment is not enough, we go into perversion because we get bored with our entertainment. So we go into weird entertainment, kinky entertainment, extreme entertainment. And then we start just doing whatever we want to do. Now, here's the interesting slide. When we say, hey, you can't do that. That's too weird or that's too perverted. They say, hey, this is a free country. We're free. We're free to do whatever we want to do. Really? Yeah, I can say whatever I want to say because I'm free. Oh, really? What's that called? Free speech to say whatever I want to say. I can do whatever I want to do. It's called a woman's rights. And we just do whatever we want to do, and we have a law for it because we're free. And watch this. And I can think whatever I want to think because it's my own body, it's my own mind, it's whatever I do. I can decide right from wrong. You don't decide it for me because I'm free. And once you buy into that lie, your freedom is gone. Because now you're under the bondage of the proprietor of hell. I was thinking, you know, that misdefinition of freedom happened way back in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent disguised himself as a snake. And he then comes to Eve. And Eve says, you know, I have this whole place I'm just free to be roaming in. And the devil says, you're not free. Oh, yes. No, you can't eat of that one tree. Oh, she says, oh, yeah, that's not an option. I don't have that as an option. But everything else, I can be free. As I obey God, I am free. Oh, no, he says, no, no, you better listen to me. She said, what? She said, if you can eat that, and that is an option to eat it, then you're free, because then you can do whatever you want to, and then you're free. Oh, no, she said, God said, if I ate of that, then I would lose my freedom. I would die. Oh, no, 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 said the devil. No, no, he didn't mean that you would die. He said in the day that you'd eat it, your eyes will be open. And you'll be free because you can do whatever you want to. Really? Yes, 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 yes. That's what freedom is. You can do anything you want to do. Oh, yeah. In fact, let's listen in on the conversation. Let's read it together at the top of our notes, what Genesis 3 says. Let's read it. Go. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Here's what he was saying. No. No, you don't have to let God tell you what's an option and what's not an option. You can decide for yourself. You decide what's right or wrong, not God. Because freedom comes when you can decide if it's right for you, it's right. If it's wrong for you, it's wrong. But you decide for yourself. And when you can decide for yourself, now you're free and you'll be like God. She said, really? Yes. He said. And as soon as she saw that which wasn't an option, now an option, and she took it and ate of it, her freedom was gone. Just that fast. Not only for her, but for generations thereafter. Sometimes we think that options is what makes freedom. That can take it away sometime. The story of this Russian kid came to America and he couldn't speak English, and so he couldn't order food. So he went to his language coach and said, "Hey, I got to order food," he said in Russian. The guy said, "Well, just remember three words: hamburger, French fries, Coke. That's all.
Hamburger, French fries, Coke.
That's it. That's it." So I tried it out. I went to the first restaurant.
Hamburger, French fries, Coke.
Oh, guy gives him hamburgers, French fries, Coke. So I think this is, wow, this is cool. And then dinner time,
hamburger, French fries, Coke.
I give him hamburger. Next morning, he goes for breakfast.
Hamburger, French fries, Coke.
Okay. And, well, this was okay. But after like 4 months of eating hamburgers, French fries, Coke, and all the grease, I mean, he's got zits everywhere coming out of him. And he said, "I got to change this." So he went to his coach and said, "You got to tell me something else. I can't keep eating this for breakfast." He said, "Okay. Eggs, toast, juice.
Eggs, toast, juice.
That's it. That's it. Just go there." So he sat down, tried out the next day. Restaurant. "What would you like?"
"Eggs, toast, juice."
"Oh," she said, "okay. You want your eggs scrambled over easy, over medium? What would you like? And about the toast, would you like rye, white, sourdough, or English muffin? And juice, we have cranberry, apple, we have mango, and we have orange."
He said, "Hamburger, French fries, Coke."
Just because you have options doesn't make things simpler. But we love our options. We don't want anyone to take options from us because we want to do whatever we want to. We want to have everything our way. Have it your way. And that's a theme song of hell, isn't it? I did it my way. Because we want options. Don't take away my options. Just like our phone, it's not just a cell phone. It's my cell phone. I got a personal ringtone on it. How many of you, admit, how many of you have a personal ringtone on your phone? Raise your hand. Yeah, a bunch of the rest of you are lying. Because, yeah, personal ringtones. And then it's no longer just getting coffee at Starbucks. I have to have it. It's a creation, my creation. We love options. Because it helps us to think that we're free. And then when it comes to doing whatever we want to, don't tell me what to do. I live in a country that's free. And we probably have no greater amount of people imprisoned with our lives crashing in and imploding in our marriages and our relationships and our crime, the kinky kind of crime that we have. It's amazing. You know what I'm realizing? Here it is. That the more I walk with Christ and the older I get in Christ, the less my life is up for a vote. There's certain things that, no, it's not up for a vote anymore. I've already voted on it. There's certain things in my life that's not up for an option. No, it's not for sale. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's not up for sale. Closed, sealed, signed, delivered. It's not up for a vote anymore. Because once your life or parts of your life become up for a vote, or if it's negotiable, you put yourself back up on the auction block, because there's parts of my life, whether it be my marriage, my faith, my devotion, my honesty, my integrity, there's a price to it. It's up for sale. Oh yeah, I may not sin right now or mess up because I'm going to stay true, only because the price has not been met yet. Story is told of a man who was a captain of a boat, and he was fishing between Central America and the U.S., and he'd kind of go between them when a cartel member began to ask him to take some drugs over to the U.S. border, to which he said, no, no, no. Well, this went on for about 2 years, and finally, after 2 years of asking this boat captain to run drugs, he finally went to the port authorities and turned in the cartel member. So the port authority said, thank you, we will keep that person under surveillance from this point on. But how long has this been going on? He said, 2 years. And the port authority said, 2 years. Why did you wait 2 years before you finally turned them in? He said, well, 2 years ago, they offered me $500 to make a run. I said, no way. And then they offered me $5,000. I said, no way. And then they offered me $10,000. No way. And they just offered me $100,000 to run drugs. And the reason I turned them in, they're getting too close to my price. Let me ask you, is there anything in your life that's not for sale? There needs to be. Someone once said to me, Wayne, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. And you've got to have certain things that are non-negotiable, because if they're up for sale, you put yourself up on the auction block. And the only reason you haven't given into it yet is because they haven't met your price. But if you look at Luke chapter 4, there's a story of the devil. He is tempting Christ. And he brings Jesus to the edge of the pinnacle. And he says, listen to this, it says, and he showed him all the domains of the world and all of its glory. And then he said this, if you will fall down and worship me, I will give you these domains and all of its glory. Watch this. For these have been given to me to do with as I wish. See, he's got the stuff to barter with you to take away your freedom. But you think that by doing that, I am free. You understand the lie that's there? I just do whatever I want, I'm free. No, not now. You're a prisoner because you're on the auction block. You're for sale. But as soon as I say, my life is not for sale, and there's certain things that are not negotiable, I get off the auction block, and now you understand what it means to be free. I was just coming into the condo just the other night, and there was a guy with this pizza. You know how they have it in their little wrap and to keep it warm? He was at the desk at the lobby, and I just kind of making a joke, so I walked by, and I said, oh, you finally got my pizza for me, huh? And he looked at me and smiled and said, anything's for sale. And I thought, you're just like the devil. But it's true. Just yesterday morning, I was doing some errands down on Mauna Kea Street, and right on the corner of Mauna Kea, and I can't remember the cross street, two of these ladies at 7 in the morning now, I guess coming to the end of their shift, they're dressed to kill, and they're working the morning shift. And I was going to park there on the side of the street, and they started watching me. I thought, I better get over. I parked way down on the other side. Because there's New Hope on the license plate. But I thought, I wonder how many people, maybe not to that extent, but have stuff in their life for sale, and they are people without freedom. They're now enslaved. How do you get that freedom? How do you come to that point? Because if you look in the hall of heaven's hall of fame in in Hebrews 11, we call it the hall of faith, but it's a chapter, I call it heaven's hall of fame, where men and women who ended up there were those who knew that there were certain things in their life, I don't care what you say, I don't care how much you offer, it's not for sale. It was Joseph who said, my sexual morality is not for sale with Potiphar's wife. Could have been promoted to some big deal. No, it's just not for sale. Ended him up in prison, but God later on blessed him. You find people like Abraham or Moses that say, my faith is not up for sale. No, I can't go back to Egypt. I won't. Doesn't matter if I have to live in the desert for 40 years. There are certain things in their life that were just not for sale. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar said, we're going to throw you in this furnace of fire if you don't bow down to this idol. My faith in God is not for sale. You might as well throw me in. Not negotiable. And there was a freedom and a confidence that came into their life because they knew what was not for sale, and I'm not on the auction block. And when you see that, you think, those are the people that are really free. Not the ones that say, I can do whatever I want to. Then you buy right into the proprietor of hell's hand and you lose your freedom that fast. Eve did. And we still fall into the same category. Today I want to talk about freedom. How do you get this freedom? What are some of the beginning points of it? I'm going to give you three things that will help you to find out how to be a people of true freedom. Would you write down, so how do you find freedom? Number one, would you write down just what we said? Number one, you got to decide what's not for sale. You got to decide what's not for sale. You have anything in your life that's not for sale? What about honesty? What if someone bargains with it? Will you give up your honesty? What about just your grace or being a man of God? Is that up for sale? Being a woman of God, is that up for sale? Your body, your attitude, your future, your faith, your devotion. There's a lot of people that are on the auction block, and I want to encourage you today, it's time to step off of that and say, I'm not for sale. And then you become a person who understands what freedom is. When you know that there's things in your life that are not for sale, there's a bunch in my life that's just not up for a vote anymore, just not up for a vote. There's an uncanny freedom that comes into your life. Boy, just mark my words. There's this uncanny peace that comes. Say, whew. Because you see, freedom is defined that as, not as all those things I can do now. No, that'll get you losing your freedom. Freedom is defined as all those things I don't have to wrestle with anymore. It's already been voted on. Yeah, I don't need to arm wrestle with it. I don't need to dart down the options of dead-end rabbit trails. I'm fine. So then I know what to say yes to, and I know what to say no to. And there is such a simplicity and a freedom and a rest that comes. So the first is, you must decide what's not for sale. Let's read one of my favorite verses in Jeremiah 6:16. Would you read it out loud? Go. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. Here it is, and you will find rest for your souls. Would you underline, and you will find rest for your souls. This is a powerful verse. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. And when you do, there will be a rest and a freedom. What is he saying? Well, an ancient path are those things that God has established from eons prior that must never be changed. Now watch this. Listen very carefully. There's things in your life that must change, and there are things in your life that must never change. There's things in your life that must change. Areas of attitude or flat spots in my character, my tendency, proclivity to anger, how quick I am to come to conclusions or rumor or gossip or fight back. There's certain things in my life that must change, but there's certain things in my life that must never change. And here it is, and don't get the two mixed up. Because what our society tends to do is the things that must never change, we change. And the things that we should change, we never do. Do you understand how freedom is just stolen? Because it's switched. And that's the antithesis. That's exactly what the enemy tries to do. To flip things around and think we got freedom defined correctly. When it plays right into his hand and he steals our freedom and you're back on the auction block again. Because everything is for sale to the highest bidder. There's certain things. Ask for the ancient paths where the good way is. There's certain things of God's principles, God's ways, God's plans, God's designs that you need to find what those are, especially for this season of your life. What are some of the things that cannot change? And what are the things that must change? Don't get it mixed up. And when you do, you've got the parameters that lead you to freedom. So the first thing is find out, decide what will not change. And it's not for sale. They're not up for a vote. Because they've already been voted on. You'll notice in your notes there's five lines there. There are five things that I put down in my life that are not up for sale. And I'm going to emphasize, and I have been emphasizing, and this has helped me so very much. And I want to give you what my five non-negotiables are. What are the five things that are not up for a vote because they've been already voted on. Now, this message is going to come with homework. Homework. Because I want you to put your five things down of this season, what the Lord is saying to you must be a no vote item. Five things that are non-negotiables. Five things that you need to integrate into your life so that when push comes to shove, you say, that's not for sale. Sorry, doesn't matter. Nope, it's not up for a vote. Nope. Next, nope, that's not up for a vote. You need to know what they are. Because if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Here are my five. The first is this, and you can write mine down, but really, I want you to write your own down. So you can write mine down as an example. Now, the first thing is this. The first is a close and growing relationship with Christ. Now, these things I am tenacious about. Even though I have problems or struggle with them, I will be tenacious as the day is long with these. I am going to be someone who has a close and growing relationship with Christ. It doesn't matter what happens. Even when there are seasons where I don't understand why God is doing this, I will stay close and I will keep my relationship growing with him. It does not matter. This is not up for a vote. I'm not going to throw it out. I'm not going to jettison this thing. I'm staying with it. Because watch this. Let's say you're growing in the Lord and some event takes place, like an accident or whatever. Bang! And at this point, you say, I don't know why God did that. I don't understand it. So I'm not really going to walk with him. You marginalize yourself from God. Because if he's going to do that, I'm not just going to do stuff with him. I'm not going to church. I'm just going to stay away from him. Now, 5, 10 years goes by. And then right here, God does something in your life and reveals why this happened. And then you say, oh, that's why. Lord, I'm so sorry. And boom, you start to walk with the Lord again. Now, watch this. You see this portion of your life here? You wasted it. It's hollow. Because you marginalize yourself from God. It's a wasted era of 10 years. We only have one life to live on this earth for Christ. You can't afford to throw away an era like that. So, watch this. I establish that, and that's not up for a vote. So I'm walking with Christ, and bang, something happens. I don't understand God, but I'm still going to be close to him. I don't understand why that happened, but I'm going to grow in Christ. I don't know why this is happening, Lord, but I still love you, and I honor you. Now, 10 years goes by, and he reveals something to me. I say, oh, that's why. Thank you, Lord. And I keep going without a hitch. Guess what? This is gold. You understand? This is gold. You've learned how to walk by faith without throwing your faith out, because my faith in Christ is not for sale. Even an event or an accident isn't enough to buy my faith, because it's not for sale. See, the enemy knows what your price is. It may not be money. It might be an accident. It might be something that's a setback, a financial setback. It could be someone bilking you. Someone messing you up, but there's a price. And if you put it up for sale, if you're on the auction block, he can smell slaves. It's time for us to be free. Number one, it's a close and growing relationship with Christ. And the second is a genuine marriage and close family. A genuine marriage and a close family. Not a fake marriage, not one that just looks good on the outside, clear to the core. And a family, not just a family that's close. So it tells me what I need to do as a dad, to corral them in, to bring them in. And whatever investment I need to make, whatever time I have to invest, will there be pushback? Sure. Will there be speed bumps? Sure. But let me tell you, in these five things, I'm going to be tenacious. And the third thing is a healthy ministry that resources other leaders. A healthy ministry. And I'm just giving you my examples now. A healthy ministry, not a perfect ministry. There's flat spots in this church. Not the biggest ministry, but a healthy one that pleases God and one that resources other leaders. Because when God does good things in our midst, I don't want to keep it to ourselves. I want to share it, because if we're going to do what God's asked us to do, we need every church possible doing well, not just one. And so it has to overflow, and that's why I go out and speak with other pastors and help as best I can. And by the way, thank you for your patience to allow me to do that, because a part of what I feel is the DNA of this church is to be able to help other churches as best we can, because I believe when the tide rises, all the boats should rise, not just one. And then, number four, staying physically healthy with a creative soul. Staying physically healthy with a creative soul. So to keep myself healthy is very, very important, because once that goes down, then everything follows suit. But also to have some kind of outlet that's creative. So if there's a pressure of ministry I've got, I do my music, or I'll have some hobbies or some sports, but you've got to have creative outlets. I write books, something to have a creative outlet. And especially if you're in a vocation, and if you're in a career, or if you're a student under pressure, you better have some creative outlets. David did, although he was one of the most elite guerrilla militia experts in the world, he wrote poetry. Think of this Rambo guy writing poetry. He had to have a creative outlet, and God loved that so much, he called those Psalms. You need to have some creative outlet. Now, listen, if you're under stress as a businessman, businesswoman, student, a mother, and you don't have a creative outlet, you will get weird. That's true. You will come weird. Because if you don't have a creative, healthy outlet, you're going to have an unhealthy, weird outlet. Mark my words. So you need to have a creative portion of your soul that's able to express itself in appropriate ways. And then finally, time to enjoy life with family and friends. Time to enjoy life with family and friends. If you get so caught up in work and life, you'll find you'll turn around one day, life has passed you by, everybody's grown up, and you've forgotten how to laugh. There's an old rabbinical saying that goes like this. One day God will hold us accountable for all the things that He created for us to enjoy, but we refused to do so. God's created a beautiful earth. Take time to enjoy it with family and friends. Now, these five things I am tenacious about. I know what I need to invest in, and I write them down and I go for it. It's sort of like this. Let's say you have an orchard of 100 trees. Now, your survival depends on you harvesting the fruit and getting juice out of these trees. That's your resource. That's your survival, all right? Now, let's say someone comes into your orchard and marks 5 trees. And he says to you, you better take good care of these 5 trees. Because although you have 100, I need to tell you that these are the fruit-bearing trees that I put a mark on. The rest are ornamental. They will have flowers and they'll have leaves, but they will not bear fruit. Only these 5 are fruit-bearing. Well, how do you know? I planted them. And I will let you know which ones they are. Now, you need to invest in these 5. You can do all of them. That's fine. But you better go A+ on these 5 to care for, to fertilize, to invest in, to take time with, to make sure that they're strong. If these 5 go down, you can have all the rest, fine, you will die. But if you will take time with these 5, make sure that they're healthy, you'll have all the fruit you need. Even though some of these others may brown, these are most important. And you understand, you need to establish what's not up for sale and for this season of your life, what's most important, and you invest in those. You have to get A+ in those. If you're a student, you may have some that are similar to mine, but yours may be different. For this season, it's to study and it's to do well because that's your ministry right now. If you're a student at wherever, HPU or UH or whatever college you're going to, if God has accorded that to you for this season of your life, that's your ministry. You are to do well there. That's given to you by God to excel in, just like God would give someone else a job or a career to do well in that or that position. He's given this to you as your season. That should be one of yours. Now, you got to do well in that. So if someone says, hey, come and let's sit on the beach and, you know, play with sand crabs or whatever, just say, you know, I'd like to, but I've got to study. What? Yeah, I'm going to study. And you tenaciously stay in that. Because you see, you can get D pluses out here, but you better get A in those 5. If you're a mom and you have children, that should be 1. Because this is a season that you've got to do well with those kids. Even though you used to hang around with girls and go shopping and go mauling and going to the mall and killing people, going to the mall, or you're at the Red Hat Society or whatever, and then you can't because the kids wear you out. I hate these kids because I can't be in the Red Hat Society. Forget it. You tell the Red Hatters, forget it. For this season, these are the most important things in my life. And you can do a D+ out there so long as you do A over here. But you know what we do? Sometimes we keep the A+ out here and go D+ over here. We wonder why our life is so out of balance. You've got to establish what those 5 trees are and give everything you got to it and be tenacious. Just last night, a guy came and he had this precious little 9-10-month-old baby in his arms and waited for a long time. And when I got to him, he said, you know, you may not remember me, but 2 years ago, he said, this is just last night, 2 years ago, I had an affair at my workplace, And my wife found out, and we were about ready to divorce, and I had one child already, and I didn't want that. I was so sorry. I didn't want to be a part of this other lady's life, and just terrible. My wife wanted a divorce, and oh, man, it was just terrible. My life was getting torn up, and I called you, and I said, what should I do? And you said to me, quit your job. Get out of that job, because a woman was there in his workplace. He said, but I make a lot of money. Doesn't matter. It'll never match up to the treasure of a family that you've begun. You invest in what's most important and quit that job and watch what God will do. And it'll also communicate to your wife that you're serious about rebuilding. If you stay there and connect with her every day, doesn't matter. You're communicating wrongly. Invest in what's most important. You got one life to do it. Do it well. And he said, I just want you to know that I did. I quit my job. And I went to work some other place. God is providing. And he said, and our marriage got back together. And he showed me his baby. And he said, and here's my new baby. He was just so pleased. I said, good for you. Good for you. You got to know which trees are marked. Otherwise, you won't know what to say yes to and what you are to say no to. So the first is, you make sure that you decide what is not up for a vote. And then, would you write down then number two? Then make daily progress to what's most important. Make daily progress toward what's most important. Daily. Let's read what it says in Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Go. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. Why? So that we do not drift away from it. We all will have a tendency to drift away. So you've got to make daily progress. Here's what I do. I want to show you the computer, a new computer I bought right here. It's a really nice, super cheap too, man. Oh, it's fast, faster than your computer. Oh yeah, you want to, don't believe it? Watch this. Boot up, boot down. Boot up, boot down. Fast, huh? Like I don't run out of batteries ever. Now, I keep my schedule on this, but I want you to see something. I don't know if you can see it from that distance, but I want you to see something up in the left corner. You see that little marking right there? The little area that's got a little bit of color to it? Those are my five most important things. This is back in, I don't know what month this is. June. And so, watch this. Now, see anything similar? Voila. Okay, watch this. Okay, see that again? Okay, watch next month. Okay, even coming up. See the same thing over there? Watch this next month. Oh, huh? Mada arimasu yo. Wa, sugoi. Wa, eh? Bikkuri shimasu, mada. Wa, sugoi. Yeah, you see, what I do is every single month, I write those things in. And now I don't do a cut and paste thing. I actually take time to write them in and color it in because I've got to indelibly set this, imprint it on my mind so it works into the, integrates into the very fabric of who I am from just the redundancy of writing it again and again and again, and it keeps me cognizant of it every single day, every month. I look at it, I write it in, and then as I'm going through my planner, I'm making sure that I'm doing something daily towards the investment of those five trees in my orchard. Because those are the only fruit-bearing trees there are. The rest are ornamental. Because in the end, that's what's going to be most important. That's what's going to bear the most fruit. And so I write those down, and I make sure I'm moving daily. In fact, write down in that bullet, do one thing daily towards that. One thing daily towards this. I write it in every single month, again and again. Because after writing it so many times, what it does is it becomes, after redundance, it becomes just a part of me so that at a drop of a hat, I can tell you what those five things are. And after a while, I don't even think about what they are. They're so in me that every decision I make, everything that I do, I'm bouncing it off of those. Am I contributing to that or am I being distracted from that? Is it getting me closer to this or further away? And then as I do one thing daily towards that, whether I take my wife out for dinner as a date, or I call up my son, or take time to do this, or do my devotions in the morning, or just take time to enjoy life with family and friends. There's no guilt to that. I'm tenacious about it, and I go for that thing with a rabid fortitude. and I know I'm doing something daily. Now watch this. If you do something daily towards those, after 1 year, you will have done 360 plus things towards what's most important in your life. Do you understand? The success rate goes sky high, and the fruitfulness of your life increases immeasurably. We must pay much closer attention to these things lest we drift away from it. So I keep those before me, and I do one thing daily. Now, you got to remember this. The reason it's so important, in the end, God will not hold you accountable for what you've done as much as he will hold you accountable for how much of what he's asked you to do that you've done. Because you can do a lot of stuff, but it could be extra credit into ornamental trees. But if you don't have the bases covered, God won't hold you accountable for what you've done as much as how much of what he's asked you to do that you've done. Because that's where the fruitfulness comes from. And that's where freedom is going to be found. So then would you write down a number three? Number three is then when you establish what's not up for sale, so you get off the auction block, then find rest in staying true to what's most important. Find rest. When I invest in those five things, I do it without guilt. If I'm doing something to invest in that financially or time-wise, I find rest in that. I find plenty of rest because I know what God's asked me to do and I ain't up for sale. And there's a rest. In fact, let's read again what Jeremiah 6 says just to remind ourselves of it. Go. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and you will find rest for your souls. Ah, that's where freedom comes from. Yep. To know what's not for sale. And I step off the auction block. And look what Jesus said in the New Testament. Read it with me. Go. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest. Hebrews 11, Hall of Fame, Heaven's Hall of Fame. That's where men and women end up, where they know what God's asked them to do, and they give their life to it. And they are so, so fruitful. Now, in America, we have lots of halls of fames. Do you know that? I mean, if I said something like Canton, Ohio, that's the home of the Hall of Fame of what? Yes, football. If I said, here's another one just to test you. Cooperstown, New York is the home of the Hall of Fame of? Very good. Baseball. Since you're so smart, let's try a few more. The place of the Hall of Fame for rock and roll. Very good. Cleveland, Ohio. Yes. All right. Hall of Fame for basketball. Springfield, Massachusetts. Very good. Here's an easy one. Country music. Nashville, Tennessee. That's right. How's about golf? No, not Hilo, Hawaii. Yes. St. Augustine, Florida. Bicycling Hall of Fame. Somerville, New Jersey. And there's halls of fame, like hundreds of them. Did you know that there's a hall of fame for bowling, for cowboys, cowgirls, clowns, I made it in, jugglers, mascots, even streakers. Yes, Pastor Elwin made it in too. Yes. It's amazing. Now, those might be fine for the applause of men, but I tell you what, there's one hall of fame for the halls of heaven. And that's where men and women find out what's most important, integrated into their lives, and it's not up for a vote. And when a season passes, God puts new ones into your life because these will change from season to season. But these are so integrated into my life now that they're no longer up for a vote. And then I do this one and I integrate this. And you know what that is? That's how you build your house upon a rock. That the winds blow and the rains fall, and you'll not be shaken. And when men and women are those kinds of people, they're the ones who are free. And they end up in the hall of faith. And you'll get a call from heaven on your ringtone. And you'll hear a voice say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want to be there when God calls. Don't you? Amen. Amen.